become a patron of Entertainment Landfill. Go to patreon.com/landfill for details. Entertainment Landfill is made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Thank you. Listening to Entertainment Landfill, film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it. ETL Daily! Okay, we have two people on Skype, so we'll see how that goes this evening. I am the J-Strom. I also have here Stephen the Pop Culture Zealot.
Hey, how's it going?
Hello, Stephen!
Hello!
And we also have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian!
Hello, boys!
Hello, Bill! How you doing there, sir?
Oh, I'm a champion at life.
Oh, nice! We also have here one of our patrons, Ken Proventure. Hello, Ken.
Hey there. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Aces. Well, delighted to be back.
Yeah, it's great to have
Welcome
you here.
Welcome back, Ken.
Yes, it's great. It's been a while.
Yeah, Ken, you were telling me in an email that you are moving to Japan. Am I right?
Yes, tomorrow.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, it's quite an exciting turn of events.
When do you start driving?
Oh well, like I have my international driver's permits, so I can basically down and rent a car, and then drive down the left side of the road and kill everybody. Yeah.
No, I immediately
you've been driving from here.
Whenever,
yeah, exactly.
Whenever,
are you driving from the States?
I see.
Do you have an amphibious vehicle?
You know what's terrible is whenever I hear about something like that, I think of Matthew Broderick because he did that. Do you guys remember that? He actually killed somebody when he was in Europe driving on the wrong side of the road.
Yep. In Ireland, he killed somebody with Jennifer Grey in the car.
Yeah, it's really sad. So anyway, Ken, don't do that.
Don't kill anybody with Jennifer Grey in the car.
Don't be a mass murderer like Matthew Broderick. Okay.
Ken, have you ever...
And remember to apologize. Donkashane.
Have you
of course,
ever been to
of course.
Japan before, Ken?
Oh yeah, this is I've been there a bunch of times. This is a job, so it took a long time to get it going. But you know, I'm going to be the type of guy you hate, Jason. I'll be a film teacher.
Oh wow, I wouldn't say I hate that. Do you mean like film as art type of thing?
I don't know. I felt like in recent podcasts, you've had a streak of just being against the whole idea of discussing meaning in film. You know, we should just enjoy them. You know, they're not supposed to mean anything.
Oh yeah, yeah. I don't mean to come off that way. It's just I had a bad experience like in one of those film as art type of classes, and I don't mind thinking about the meaning of something. You know how after you see a good film,
but overthinking the meaning.
Yeah, when I start hearing about like who was the Christ figure in the movie and stuff like that, because not every film
it was RoboCop. He was the Christ figure,
right? But not every film is about a Christ figure. But you know, it's like
yes, it is, Jason.
Like you know, in Terminator, John Connor, JC, Jesus Christ. Okay, you know. But I actually sat in one of those type of classes, and it happened to be one of my favorite films, you know, Terminator, that they were talking about, so I rolled my eyes a lot, like, oh, come on. You know, maybe there's something there, but I guarantee you that it was on a subconscious level by the writer, don't you think?
Yeah, and maybe it should stay in the subconscious as far as talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, when you teach film, what will it be on, in what area?
Doing global media, you know, the art of cinema. I guess I'll be doing, one of those classes. And, I'm going to be, I'm going to try to teach how to make video essays.
Nice. Cool. I love video essays.
I know, and I just recently made one myself, and I'm going to see if it goes up somewhere, and we'll see, you know, I'll see if I can get others to do, you know, things themselves. I mean, if I can do one, anyone can do one, really.
Is it like a video essay, say, like, reviewing a film, or...
Well, yeah, there's all kinds of types. It's a new, I mean, you've probably seen different kinds. There's the, you know, they take one movie or one scene, or they'll take a bunch of scenes from one filmmaker, and they'll just kind of edit them all together and then have a voiceover that tries to analyze what's going on.
Yeah, there's that wonderful film series video essays, I should say, from one of the guys on Roger Ebert's site about the forgotten films. Like,
yes.
he did a great one on John Carter and just the films that are underappreciated.
Yeah, is that Matt Solarzeist?
Yes, it is.
Yes, yeah, he does a lot of good stuff, and I guess what inspired me was Mr. Plinkett. His reviews
of
those takedowns of the prequel trilogy are, like, for a lot of people the inspiration to do these things.
What's wrong with your face?
I would like to do something like that. I would love to learn something like that. You know, Homos, we talked about Spoony Bill, how
he
sits in a chair and he talks about a film and then he does clips of the film, or he'll insert something funny, almost like a visual drop, if you will. I would love to learn to do something like that. And, you know, cause I only work in the realm of audio, you know, and never video. So it's kind of like I don't know what I'm doing in the video thing, but...
Yeah, I think it's incredibly timely subject also, because I think now, you know, it's been YouTube, social media, social video sites, stuff like that have been around for a while, but only within the past really 2 years or so have like video essays on film become kind of well done. And pointed at times, it actually taught me a lot of things. There was a wonderful one not long ago all about Snowpiercer and the way that film was shot.
I remember there was even, like, I forget who it was, but what is the, oh, crap, Jason, no, the Alzheimer's is setting in. No! Zack Snyder, that movie with the girls in it, what was it called? Layer Cake.
It was...
No, not Layer Cake.
Sucker Punch. It was called Sucker Punch.
Sucker Punch. Layer Punch. I told you guys I'm losing my memory. But I watched one of those video essays on Sucker Punch that explained what they thought the film was really about. And it was really about a bunch of Christ figures, right? Is that... I was like, oh!
Oh, I thought they were all Mary Magdalene.
No, it was about female empowerment, basically. And I was just kind of like, oh! Because, you know, when I watched Sucker Punch and the movie ended, we were walking out of the theater, I was like, I don't know. And I literally did need somebody to tell me what it was about, because I just wasn't getting it.
Need that director's cut to watch.
Yeah. Have you watched the director's cut?
No, I haven't. You know. I have.
That's really cool, Ken. Where are you going to teach at?
In a university, at an international university in Tokyo called Josai.
And you know how to speak Japanese, I assume, right?
Yeah, I'm not fluent, but I can speak well enough to talk with people and, you know, to get by with the administration. And but I'm definitely not a fluent speaker.
Yeah, I think once you're there, you know, as long as you have a good grasp on conversational Japanese, I think it'll eventually come to you, especially being immersed in that culture. I mean, I've always been fascinated with Japan, and whenever my cousin actually married a Japanese woman, I was over the moon because I've always been fascinated with their culture and just how old it is. Like, I'm obsessed with the films of Uzo and Kurosawa, and just ever since I was a kid. So I've always wanted to go there. And recently, my girlfriend is a member of SGI, and learning about the history of some of the Buddhist monks and everything. I've become kind of enamored with the place and hope to get there sooner rather than later.
Well, hey, if there's a place for you, if you ever visit.
Excellent.
Are you going to be, like, I assume it will be in a really tiny apartment with, like, this little capsule you sleep in? And
a capsule for one.
Yeah.
And then a little television and a shelf for your toothbrush. Yeah.
Right. Sleeping pod.
Let me ask you this. Are you into... one thing that I remember reading about, like, I guess it was in the 90s when I'd read, like, Electronic Gaming Monthly, is when they would go to, like, I think it's called the Akihabara District with all the video games and stuff.
Oh, yeah. God, yeah. Akihabara.
Akihabara.
Or Akiba. The otaku heaven.
Yeah. I was always fascinated reading about that and seeing the pictures and stuff.
Oh, God, yeah. To this day, I was telling my my cousin-in-law, Saki, that whenever we go there, I'll probably not be able to leave just because I want to get all... It's like all the game, the Japanese game systems, like the Famicom and the Super Famicom.
Oh, and like the Japanese version of the TurboGrafx, I think it was called the PC Engine.
PC Engine, yeah.
What's great about it is that it's very social. It's almost like the arcade, like being in the arcades in the 1980s, where it's just a place you went and your friends were there and you just hung out. And it's still like that in at least where I've been, where, you know, everyone's really young people just sitting around smoking, like smoking's allowed indoors and just hang out all day playing games on these. It's usually a group, like they're all around one unit that has six or eight screens, and you know, six or eight people are sitting around playing the same game at the same time. So it's kind of like online gaming, except they go out and do it. They don't sit at home. They go out.
Right, almost like a LAN party type of thing.
Yeah, but in public, like in a commercial place.
Interesting. That's cool. And I assume you like all the food that.
Oh God, no.
No.
Oh yeah. See, that's what I would be most excited to. I'd be like, yeah, I want to go try fugu, and I want to eat all the sushi and the shabu shabu and
all
that.
It's all fish in Japan, I guess.
Well, they have all that here. See, you don't have to go there.
Do. Right. So are you, like, what kind of food will you seek out when you're there that you know you do like?
They are great at sweets. Like, they do the best, the best pastries. Their ice cream, their locally made ice cream is tangy. You can't get that kind of stuff here.
Yeah, I really like the red bean ice cream and stuff like that. Yeah.
Stuff like that, like sweet stuff. And they also have great drink, like their drinks. They have vending machines on every corner where you can get hot beverages.
Just about everything in a vending machine there, from what I understand.
Well, not everything.
I picture it being like being in the video game Shenmue. Am I correct with that?
What do you mean?
Is this where sailors hang out? Have you seen Lon D?
It was this game on the Dreamcast that if you played it, you'd know. But you could go to shops and there were vending machines and stuff.
You can get basically your entire day's worth of food and drink through vending machines without even having to look for one, you know?
Is the culture there really unhealthy, like as much as America, or do you think they're healthier there?
I think they work too hard, but then we work hard too. But I think just culturally, they just have a thing about commuting for a long hour, like long commutes, at least an hour, you know, one way, just to get to your job, and then, so it's an overworked. People there are definitely overworked. I think the food is very healthy. The air is generally healthy, except when there's radiation.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, don't go north.
Just to carry around what are those things you carry around to measure the...
Geiger counter.
A Geiger counter. Yeah, just carry one of those around with you, and it should be good. But smoking is bad. Like, smoking is really well... I really have to watch myself, because it's so easy just to light up, like, wherever you are. It's not like here, where it's more regulated and almost shunned.
Yeah, you can just smoke anywhere in Japan?
Pretty much, yeah.
What about, one thing, like, you will be there, I assume, when Star Wars The Force Awakens come out? Or will you be there that long?
I'm guessing, yeah. I'll be there for the year, at least.
What's the film-going experience like in Japan?
It's, their cinema kind of sucks. But you can get kind of, but you can see some Hollywood stuff. You can see Korean stuff. But their own cinema is kind of tanking. It's kind of bad.
Oh no! But I mean, is it in English or is it subtitled or?
Oh, I see. Dubbed? Yeah, it's the Hollywood movies are subtitled, okay. so you don't have to sit through dubbing.
Right. Right. So, like, the Avengers comes out in a couple of months, you'll be able to see it in Japan, and it won't be dubbed, at least.
Yeah, and, I mean, the tickets are more expensive, and, I'll be able to see the Avengers, and, whenever a Transformers movie comes out, it's a big event, or anything with Ken Watanabe, if he's in it, he'll be giant billboards of Ken Watanabe, even for something like Inception.
Uh-huh.
It's like Ken Watanabe in Inception, also starring Leonardo DiCaprio.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I know that, was it 2 years ago, they did a film version of Yamato, which we knew here as Star Blazers.
Right.
Right.
And it was so painfully awful. Like, it was, like, even to the point where it was derivative of so many things that were in popular culture, and then they ended the film with a song from Steven Tyler, which sounded exactly like "I Don't Want to Miss a Thing." Like, it was just, I was kind of flabbergasted by it. Like, did they really do that?
Yeah, it's pretty shameless. Some of the stuff that you see, you can't probably believe that some of this stuff actually gets released.
And one thing I'm just curious about is, how are you treated there? Fairly well by the people who live in Japan?
I guess it depends on where you are. I've always been treated okay. I've never tried to push buttons. I've never tried to go in, forbidden places or, like, way out in the middle of nowhere, and then demand service. And
you don't wander to the triad side of town or
the Yakuza.
Yeah. Hey,
triad's Chinese.
Where can I find some Yakuza around here? It's like, oh, that's not a good idea.
Don't ask for that.
But have you ever been called a gaijin?
No. That's like a bad movie.
That only happens when he's in Japan.
They say gaikokujin, so it's nicer.
Oh,
how sweet of them.
It's a little softer,
What does that mean?
Well, gaijin just means outside person, but gaikokujin means outside country person, so it's a little less, abstract. But it still means foreigner, of course.
Yeah. Right. It's like, no, my name is, and you change your name.
You change your name to Guy Jin.
Oh, let me ask you that, because I'm being honest here asking this. Do they, when they people learn your name, do they say Ken-san?
Yes, or Provencha-san. They use my last name. That's
awesome.
Which is weird. I know. I'm still not used to that. I prefer Ken.
Ken-san.
But yeah.
So yours would be really weird. Jason-san.
Ken-san, who is Christ figure in this film?
it's the one dead at the end. Yeah, that's good. They really love their self-sacrificial heroes, though.
And, they really do.
One of my favorite Christ figure moments is at the end of Omega Man when Charlton Heston dies with his arms splayed out. Do you guys remember that?
Symbolism.
Like, hey, I wonder what this
the,
is.
The end of every other Hong Kong kung fu movie from the 70s where the kung fu master is, you know, he's alone on one side, and on the other side is a row of men with rifles. That's like the new civilization, right? And the final shot is of the kung fu guy jumping in slow motion towards the gunman, and then you just hear the gunshots, and then you just fade to black. Yeah.
So it's like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, but doing a running jump kick towards the guys.
Yeah. One man cannot, you know, stop the ebb and flow of history, you know.
Yeah. It doesn't matter how good a fighter you are, bullets will kill you.
Yeah, but you heroically go down in a blaze of glory, so to speak.
That's the best way to go out.
Or arrows, a large cavalcade of arrows flying at you.
Yeah, you just made me think of that Jet Li movie where at the
Hero.
End.
Hero.
He decides to die for the Emperor.
The communist propaganda piece, Hero. Hero.
Very end, you know, he's like this invincible warrior, but he sacrifices himself for the emperor or something.
He should have just went for the greater good.
For sweatshops everywhere.
Yeah, for sweatshops everywhere.
Wow, that's
for our right to eat dog.
I'm excited for you, Ken. I think that's cool.
Wow, we're just hitting
every awful Asian stereotype.
But, you know, that's really cool, Ken. I admire what you're doing because, you know, I never go anywhere, so that's really cool.
Well, okay. I mean, I like to be settled. I like to be stable. I like to know where I am and what I'm doing so I can then do what I want. So
this is
not, you know...
Shaking you up a little.
Yeah, it's nice to end up somewhere, but getting there is always stressful.
Right. Once you have your place to live and you kind of have your little comfort zone, you can relax a little kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Some people like to go around, you know, they can't stand being in one place. They can't stand, like, having a predictable life, but that's what I want. You know?
Right.
Yeah, I can join that club.
Once you, you know where, okay, here's where I shop at, here's where I bank at, here's where I go buy stuff for, you know, entertainment or something, here's the cool places to eat. Like, once you get acclimated to everything, it's like becomes home, you know?
Yeah, and then you can just free your mind to, you know.
Right, and the rest will follow.
Be as creative as you want when everything else is taken care of.
That's so cool. Now, do you guys want to get into some entertainment news type of thing?
Yes, definitely. Enough about me. Let's go.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Just my curiosity got the best of me. I really wanted to know about a lot of that.
Jason had to kill that cat.
But, Bill, you're a good person to ask. What do you think of all this new Star Wars news that has come out?
Is it news? Would you call it news?
Well,
pre-news?
It's information.
Pre-news.
Information we did not have before. Like, we didn't know the Star Wars after The Force Awakens would be called Rogue One.
That's true. We did not know it was going to be a rogue-centered movie.
And this is the Gareth Edwards one, correct?
Yes, the Gareth Edwards ones that started with Gary Whitta. And he mysteriously dropped out, and they brought on Chris Weitz. So that I'm interested to say the least, but it's a little scary. I mean, I loved I know I have to leave the book stuff behind, but the Rogue Squadron and Wraith Squadron books were easily my favorite Star Wars books. So to actually get a Star Wars film based kind of in that Rogue Squadron world is very exciting for me.
It makes me also wonder, you know, my first thing is, what time period is Rogue One going to be in?
That's true. Are they trying to say that it's the first Rogue Squadron?
That would be totally cool. I don't know. But it's just so funny because you get one tiny piece of information and then your imagination is like, who's going to be in it and stuff. So it's, I don't know. All I know is this. We're getting a Star Wars movie this year, next year, and the year after that. And that's pretty cool, isn't it?
Huh? Yeah, I mean, Disney knows what makes the money, so they're going full haul into it.
So we got, you know, it's a trilogy, but then the standalones in between. And I forget, who's the other person doing the standalone?
Gareth Edwards. Who is the other one?
I can't remember who the other guy is.
Oh, I just looked at it.
I can't remember. Damn it!
That damn memory.
Who are you sitting next to me?
What day is it, Jason?
Friday! I see it in my computer in front of me, so I cheated.
Yeah, you know what? None of these stories have it. They all just mention the Gareth Edwards film.
Oh, no, Rian Johnson, he's doing episode 8, but I mean, there's going to be another standalone one.
Yeah, I really don't remember who's doing the other standalone film.
It'll come to me, but what do you think of, like, you were telling me yourself about all the different Star Wars comics and books and stuff.
They're starting that rollout. I mean, it was initially the Star Wars Rebels book tie-in. A New Dawn?
Which, by the way, Star Wars Rebels finale was awesome.
Yeah, it really turned into a great series. But then, just within the past couple weeks, they released the first, I guess what you would consider Star Wars canon novels, Star Wars Heir to the Jedi. And it's a book that is written from a first-person point of view, which the only other Star Wars book that's been written from a first-person point of view is the Corran Horn book, I, Jedi.
The second spinoff is by Josh Trank. I forgot.
I didn't realize that.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I thought you said take a drink.
Take a drink, Bill. You're thirsty.
This Heir to the Jedi, I started the audiobook because I really enjoy the Star Wars audiobooks. They're always read by Mark Thompson, and they're like radio plays. You know, they use the sound effects, the music. It's a bit of a rough start because, one, I feel uncomfortable in the world because it's totally out of my element. Like, it doesn't feel like the expanded universe. So it takes place directly after the original Star Wars or A New Hope. And it's Luke coming to terms with becoming a Jedi. And he's kind of a brat. You know, I'm getting a very Anakin-y feel from it. And maybe they're doing that on purpose, but I don't like young Luke. Like, I don't know what's going on. I kind of prefer the books that took place with Luke in the expanded universe, like the courtship of Princess Leia and stuff like that. I'm not really feeling this one just yet.
But I was going into Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
They use that line in the book.
Really?
They use that line in the book. He's having a discussion with someone, and he's like, gosh, on Tatooine, about the only thing I had to do was go into Tosche Station to pick up some, I forgot my last order of the power converters. And I was like,
motivator, look.
I don't know. If you go back and watch A New Hope, he is kind of whiny in that, isn't he?
It is true. Yeah, it's very true. So maybe they're staying true to the film. I'm just kind of used to the Luke that kind of comes into his own in Empire Strikes Back and not the pre-Empire Strikes Back Luke.
Just the idea that we're going to have new Star Wars to talk about is pretty awesome.
It is very awesome.
Awesome!
Your inner child coming back?
Yes. He never left.
Well, your inner child becoming very excited.
Yes.
Yeah, we're not like at the end of Toy Story 3. We hold on to those toys.
Those toys got thrown out.
We're not going to give our toys away.
Hey. Well, come on. You guys have a little box somewhere of stuff you saved from, you know, from that time. Those things. Trading cards or those little figurines.
I have multiple boxes.
They're from my 20s, though.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They're from my 20s.
Before I got married box.
Yeah.
before he got married.
Yeah, totally. I have a box in the garage with a shitload of Wizard magazines. Like, remember God,
we'd
buy those?
We used to sit there and watch, look at those.
At the comic
store. Why have you not shown me those?
But they're, like, worthless, just like these comic book magazines. It's kind of funny. Like, before Image Comics, like, started having financial problems and got bought by DC Comics and stuff.
Big Rob Liefeld covers.
Gotta love Rob Liefeld. Now, hey, have you guys watched the second trailer for the new Daredevil series?
No, sir.
No, I haven't. All I've seen are the pictures of Vincent D'Onofrio looking like Kingpin.
Oh, guys, I am so excited about this show.
But I kind of prefer Vincent D'Onofrio with Edgar face.
With Edgar face?
He had an Edgar face on. Edgar face. Sorry. Men in Black reference.
Oh, God, I didn't know what you were talking about. Damn it.
Get an Edgar suit on.
I need to take some brain pills or something.
Yeah. Slipping there.
I know. I've grown dumb or something. Okay, let me ask you guys this. Have you seen Chappie yet?
Yes. With you.
You are with me.
No.
Bill and Ken, have you seen Chappie?
No, but I saw Elysium, and that's why.
Oh. Were you a fan of District 9?
I liked it. I thought it was okay. I didn't get what greatness was supposed to be in it. I mean, it was thoughtful. I appreciated it, but I thought the climax was just overblown. And
the effects were amazing.
Of course, because they always are amazing. It's one Hollywood movie looks as good as another these days, and it's hard to say, okay, the effects, you know.
You know what's interesting is I wanted to read Drew McWeeny's review of Chappie, but I decided not to until after I saw the film. But then when I read it, which it is a negative review in the fact that he was disappointed in the film, but he couldn't outright pan it because there was a lot about it that he liked. But the one thing that he said, which I kind of agree with, is that District 9, Elysium, and Chappie all are very similar plot lines, very similar climactic endings. I was like, you know what? I can see that. But where that didn't bother me, it bothered him. Which he was like, is he a one-trick pony? Is he going to keep making the same film over and over? Which I think it's different enough where that doesn't bother me. The main thing is that all of his films are set in the same junk pile city, you know?
Right. And,
I mean, I can understand if that's where he grew up, right? He wants to
That's what he knows.
That's what he knows. I mean, it does...
It's no different than, say, Kevin Smith in New Jersey.
I mean, there are nice areas in South Africa, right?
Well, I just think he's not good at engaging audiences, and I guess I respect that on one level, but also you can tell watching it that he's making this not for the biggest audience possible.
He's not making a mainstream film. He's making it for whoever can watch it and sit through it and happens to enjoy it, I guess.
He's making a kick-ass apartheid action flick.
So he's a one-of-a-kind, yeah.
Yes. One thing that...
Isn't that idea played out, though? I just saw the RoboCop remake recently, and I thought...
Oh, you poor bastard.
I saw that.
I think Jason and I both saw that in the theater.
Right.
What about you, Steven? Were you subjected to that?
No. Nope, I was... kind of, I guess, waiting for Satellite to show up.
You lucky bastard.
But you can see what they were trying to go beyond. Like, they were really talking about the ethics of the situation. And,
right. They had too many ideas, and they didn't focus on... the storyline got too big. They had too many things going.
If they would have worked on, like, a whole trilogy of films, but I'm guessing a trilogy of films exploring the ethics of
You know, it is very similar. When we were watching Chappie, I said out loud in my brain, if that's possible, this is Neil Blomkamp's RoboCop. Because that's what it reminded me of.
Right.
In a lot of ways.
Yeah, there was an Ed 209 type of thing in there also, wasn't there?
Yes, yes.
I mean, they've been teasing the crap out of it in every trailer or teaser on TV.
Right, and it kind of reminds me of RoboCop in a way because, and I'm even talking about the original where, remember, Bob Morton had the RoboCop program, but Ronnie Cox, he had the Ed 209. In Chappie, there's the Scout program, which are the Chappie robots, and then Hugh Jackman has his big Ed 209 type robot called the Moose. And he wanted the Moose, but the Moose is ugly, it looks like a tank, and it kind of scares people.
Yeah.
You need a more friendly looking robot, and it made him very disgruntled. So there's some similarities there. I do like the idea of, I'm a huge fan of, like, this kind of looks like modern day, but it's slightly in the future, and everything's high-tech kind of thing, but it's all worn out and old and crappy.
Third world futuristic.
Yeah, third world high-tech, in a way. And Neil
Blade Runner style.
Yeah, Neil Blomkamp does that really well. The kind of, like, worn computers and stuff, but they're more powerful than shit we have now.
Right.
You know, so... I'll wait for you to see it, Bill. I'm curious of what you think of it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. There's so many movies I need to see, but I barely have the time.
Tonight I'm seeing Cinderella.
Yeah, I think, Natalie and I are going to go try to see that tomorrow. It's Kenneth Branagh directed it, which surprised the shit out of me.
Emma and Heather are at Cinderella right now.
Oh, nice.
She wanted to see it. You know, they both wanted to see it really, really bad, and it's getting great reviews, and I'm kind of like, I don't get to go on the movies with you guys. Oh, man. It's a deal.
It's mother-daughter cinema night.
It does look good. I mean, Kenneth Branagh, if he did Thor to get him this, then that's pretty cool. It's good to see him working.
Well, I mean, we know the story so well, but apparently this one... is more in line with the original story. So I'm kind of interested in that.
I'm curious what you mean, like how it's different. Cause...
I would have to look it up, but the original, what is it? I'm going to have to look it up. Yeah, I'm going to have to look it up. But there's an original story, and then there's the Disney version of the story.
Right,
like
right.
The animated version.
The Disney-fied.
Yeah, and this is the... God, it was a French thing, Cendrillion. So it's more in line with that.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
Now, Bill, did you guys ever get out to see 50 Shades of Grey? Because I know you decided not to.
No. We did not see 50 Shades of Grey.
So it's just kind of like,
We're gonna BitTorrent the censored version from. One of the countries that cut all the sex scenes out of it. I think it was China. Yeah, China cut.
So the non-sex version?
Yeah, the non-sex version.
Yeah.
And a bit torn it.
In Vietnam, they cut out all the sex scenes, so they kiss and then it just goes to the next scene. And people complained about it. And now it flopped and was taken away. It was a terrible joke.
That's the version I want to see. Because that's really where it all comes down to, that first kiss. After that, everything's just, you know, cherry on top.
It's all downhill from there.
It's fun seeing my wife is Vietnamese, so I've had some experience over there watching movies, and it's funny watching movies in Vietnam when you know that there's supposed to be something there, and then it's not. and they just sort of let it go, like... Okay.
Oh, I didn't think about that. Like the certain kind of censoring in other countries.
Yeah, and in Cambodia they banned 50 Shades of Grey entirely. So what happens in Vietnam if people want to see a movie like Hunger Games? gets banned in Vietnam, so they just go to Cambodia and watch it. They just go over the border and watch Hunger Games there.
That, can you imagine that sentence? Hey, guys, let's go to Cambodia and watch that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, right there on the border of Vietnam, they have all the casinos and movie theaters and, like, all the stuff you can't do in Vietnam. You can just go right over the border and do it in Cambodia.
So Cambodia is like the Nevada of the...
Yes.
Of Southeast Asia.
Wow, I never thought of it like that.
Yeah, but now they can't see... Now if they want to see 50 Shades of Grey, they'll have to go to a bootlegger on the street.
Of which there are plenty.
Oh, yes.
You know... That's okay. I have another Japan question.
Oh boy,
do they censor, call back? Do they censor films in Japan like that?
No, Japan is one of the few. Okay, the only three countries that don't have a government censorship are U.S., Japan, and Germany. So they don't have government censorship in Japan. They just have ratings and I mean, there obviously certain things are illegal, but. Same thing here, you know. So.
Yeah, I always thought that was weird about Australia, because they're banning video games all the time, aren't they, Bill?
Yeah, I think they just changed that, or tried to change that. They have a very strange government over there. I think they have a lot of very, what we would call, like, right-wing types running things over there, at least now. So there's a very, very strange self-censorship nanny state thing going on with video games. I'm not sure about films, but video games for sure.
Interesting. Now, Bill, what new games are coming out soon that you're looking forward to? I know we keep talking about Evolve, but we haven't played it yet.
It's because we both want to play it so badly. Just because, that was the whole idea of being able to do something that kind of turns the Left 4 Dead sort of play on its head is exciting.
Right.
Game-wise, I think the big ones are the ones that are already out. I'm not sure what's, they did like a definitive edition of Devil May Cry. Xbox One has this new game called Ori and the Blind Forest. It's kind of a platformer, an adventure platformer, that a lot of people are giving really good reviews to.
Remember the trailer for that at E3, like, made people, like, tear up and stuff.
Yeah, it looks beautiful. I'm definitely looking forward to it.
What system is that on?
That's Xbox One. Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
And you... Oh, sorry, keep going.
No, go ahead.
I just remembered that you said Powers debuted on the PlayStation Network.
Yeah, the first episode is up for anybody to watch online. And that's Charlto Copley and quite possibly one of the most grating American accents I've ever heard. I was having a really tough time getting through it because it's just such a mishmash. Like it's an accent that doesn't know it's an accent. It's awful. I just wish that he would speak, Eddie Izzard's in it and he has his, straight British accent. So why didn't they just allow the South African accent? So I don't know whose choice that was, but it's really, I didn't expect it to be as violent and vulgar as it is. Like, I figured, this is a show produced by Sony for PlayStation Network, and that it would be, maybe PG-13.
Right.
But, I mean, it's pretty hard R.
So to watch this, you have to be, do you have to pay a monthly fee, or how does it work?
I think you either have to rent it, or if you have PlayStation Plus, you can watch it for free with your, your yearly membership.
Right. Oh, okay. Because I don't have, I'm a member of, the PlayStation whatever, but I'm not subscribing to anything.
Yeah, I don't even know why I have it.
Or
I think
paying
I
cash money or anything.
Yeah, I think the only other big game that comes out next week is the new Battlefield, that Battlefield Hardline.
Right. Didn't you play the beta for that?
Oh God, I played the beta and it was just indecipherable. There was so much chaos. And when you think about a heist game going on inside of a city and there being, I think, no less than 32 people at a time in these things, it was so confusing. The moment I started, I just kept dying over and over again. Hell, I couldn't even get a car out of a garage. It was so confusing. It was like, oh, hey, everybody's running that way. I'll run that way. It was too big.
Looked confusing as hell.
Yeah, super, super confusing. I don't know if they streamlined it a little bit, but I honestly have zero interest in these games that are designed around the online multiplayer features anymore.
Me neither. I don't care anymore.
I mean, I can appreciate it for the people that love playing it. I love a good first-person story. That's why I loved the original Battlefield Bad Company.
Right. You want but the storyline is always the best.
Yeah, but I mean, after a while you get burnt out. Some people just love the multiplayer, and I've kind of grown out of that.
You know what? On the Xbox Live, they have free games every once in a while, and there was Rayman Legends on the Xbox One.
Oh yeah.
And it was free, so I downloaded it. I was playing that, and it looks awesome, and it's just a platformer, and it's fun, and just something like that, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's a lot of fun.
Heck yeah.
Did you say that was called Rain Man Legends?
Yeah. Definitely. He buys his underwear at Kmart.
It's
what I picture Dustin Hoffman like, you know, playing like a game where you have to play the piano, you know, with a bad
disability.
You have to make the end of the level in time for the people's court.
And you can count cards.
Yeah, you can count cards and toothpicks. You collect toothpicks instead of like coins or stars. You collect toothpicks as you go through the level.
And your avatar has a suit three sizes too big.
Yes. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just ignorant of. You
know. Yeah, Rayman's a pretty cool character. Like you can, they have Rayman games on Android, iPhone or whatever, and they're fun games.
Yeah, I remember the first Rayman games, and I always loved them.
And they're easy to play on your phone because all you have to do is tap it for jump or whatever.
Yeah, the mobile ones. Yeah, they've actually designed those quite well.
I downloaded I forget what that game's called. It's like a first-person zombie shooter you can play on your phone. And I'm like, I can't play this. You know, you got your thumb on one side of the screen and your other thumb on the other tapping it to shoot. It's just impossible. I'd rather play a game where you just, you know, tap the screen in one spot and that's it.
Kind of like the Pitfall or...
Right.
What was your Subway Surfer?
Yeah, I had to get rid of that game. Subway Surfer, because it kept sending me updates, and it would go on my phone, and I go, what the hell is that? And it was Subway Surfer, so I would go into the settings and turn off any notifications, but every time it updated in the store, it would turn it back on, so I would hear, and I'd be like, damn it, and I want to like smash my phone, but it's not my phone's fault.
Yeah, I have a problem with stuff that does those notifications. I basically just turned off all my notifications.
Oh, right, yeah. I
can't take it. Like, I mean, there's times where I want a notification, but it's so irritating.
Oh, totally. Hey, Bill, have you watched the latest Ain't It Cool News with Harry Knowles?
Oh, my God.
Where he interviews Burt Reynolds.
No, that wasn't Burt Reynolds.
And he's not interviewing him. It's somebody else interviewed him.
Yeah, he it's canned questions. And they put Burt Reynolds in a crystal ball.
Right, and Harry's acting like he's talking to him, but it was somebody else who interviewed him or something.
Yeah, Burt Reynolds, God, he looks so old. And it's like, I think even you said it's a claymation Burt Reynolds or animatronic Burt Reynolds.
He's made out of silly putty.
Yeah, he does. But he's still rocking that toupe, man.
Yeah, I saw, what's that, the Fast ML show, the two car guys here in Dallas. Uh-huh. They fixed up an old Trans Am that was the one he drove in Smokey and the Bandit. And
awesome.
They drove all the way to Florida to get him to sign the glove box cover.
Oh, okay.
And he comes out and he's got the cane. I'm
Bert. God, that's so depressing.
He's
Why
bandit.
Can't people just let things go? There's a point where nostalgia becomes depressing. Okay? when the person gets to the point where they're basically decrepit, just
like
let it go.
Muppet.
Yeah, he looks like a Muppet.
A leather Muppet.
Can I tell you guys one thing I want to put an embargo on? Like, I don't mind any Marvel news, any Star Wars news or whatever, even though it goes overboard, or casting news. I just don't want to hear any more about Ghostbusters.
Over Ghostbusters.
Oh, my God.
I don't want to hear about them expanding it now to another Ghostbusters with... just stop with the Ghostbusters news. I don't want to hear.
Is it Sony that owns Ghostbusters?
Yeah, apparently.
Oh, this is so typical of Sony, though. Sony loves driving things into the ground, and when somebody says, I don't like that, they go, oh, well, let's do this, too.
It reminds me of the Sinister Six Spider-Man crap, where they now want a Ghostbusters universe with other, multiple Ghostbusters going at the same time or something? Have they watched the movies? It does not warrant that.
A rumor right here? They're going to make a prequel.
Oh, okay.
With them as teens.
Nice!
Oh, and they're going to be manipulated by Evo Shandor.
So. Anyway,
awesome!
I'm starting the new rumor. That's it. There's a teen Ghostbusters coming out.
Sounds awesome.
It's like Teen Titans. But
teen Ghostbusters. I just want the real Ghostbusters, that cartoon.
Yes, with Slimer.
Yeah.
That was perfect.
That's like a Slimer impression.
You should go on tour with that.
You have ever noticed, Slimer, Glomer from the Punky Brewster cartoon,
mm-hmm.
and Uni from the Dungeons & Dragons cartoon, they all sound the same. So
and Rubik from Rubik the Magic Cube.
I am Rubik! I love that Rubik is basically E.T.
Yeah.
He can make them fly in their bikes, this friggin' puzzle, plastic piece of shit puzzle.
With a head.
Has powers.
Why does it have a head?
He has a face sticking out of the block. I am Rubik, the amazing cube. It's like, no, you're creepy is what you are. Get the hell away from me. Rubik, the amazing cube. I love that.
80s or 80s cartoons. There was a whole article I read a while back about the creepiest cartoons from the 80s. I think Rubik was number one. Turbo Teen was number two.
Let me see this real quick. So basically, Gypsy's own Rubik. Oh, that's awful. Gypsy's own Rubik. Rubik's the lot of wagons.
My name is Rubik.
Good lord.
That pretty much sums it all up there.
Good I Lord. Want your soul!
But if you scramble him, he's...
He's rendered powerless.
For him to come to life.
I just love that his origin in the opening is he's in, a gypsy's carriage wagon, and he goes over a rock and falls out, and these kids find him.
He was a gypsy cube.
It's like, that's your origin of this friggin' E.T. ripoff?
So are they saying that gypsies created the Rubik Cube?
I want to see a remake of E.T. where E.T.'s in the back of a wagon and that's because he falls out of the back.
Or the gypsies stole the Rubik's that's Cube as far to as use its powers.
Oh, they're evil gypsies.
There you go.
Well, when are gypsies not evil?
My money is that Rubik came from outer space.
It's possible.
Yeah, you know what? I would prefer that.
Oh, you guys, we have a voicemail. Let's go ahead and play this. And Bill, what do you say we do some... I remember you had a news story you sent me earlier. Do you want to do that?
Do we want to do that now? Do we really want to forge ahead into the crazy news?
Well, first we have a voicemail. We'll take a break and then come back. How's that?
All right.
We got a voicemail from Adam! Adam Sexton! I gotta remember, we gotta say which Adam it is.
Yeah, because we have a Bay Area one too.
Alright, let's check it out. Hey Adam, what's up?
Hello, Entertainment Landfill crew. Adam Sexton here, dropping you off some voicemail. I'm glad that you are recording an episode tonight, and I do plan to be in the chat room, so I'm trying to finish up work right now, and it's raining like cats and dogs outside, so I'm going to try to get out of here before it gets any worse. Just wanted to leave some feedback. On your last episode, the Falling Hard episode, I mentioned this on Facebook, but it needs to be repeated here. I do think that the last hour of that episode where you and Steven are talking about old TV shows you watched, and then it transitioned into stories of hanging out together, then that transitioned into the two of you talking about your attempts to write scripts or get involved with filmmaking projects that your older friends were trying to put together and how those didn't pan out the way you wanted to. I really do love the way that that whole discussion ended with your reactions to a trailer for a movie that Steven was involved in, the Falling Hard trailer, and it really did feel like a punchline to a very long, drawn-out joke. And that's probably not what you intended, but I think you pulled it off very well. So thank you for making me laugh my ass off near the end of one of my work shifts. Last weekend, didn't go see anything because I felt particularly lazy after a really long work night. And what I'm pretty sure all that I did on my day or two off was play Diablo 3 and listen to old Nowhere in Mulberry episodes. And it was a good thing that I managed to message Jason through Facebook. I went to the podcast website where I thought the episodes would still be archived, and it seems like for like the first 140-something episodes, they're all broken links. And I messaged about this to Jason. He said, well, they're all archived over at the Jstrom Blogspot blog. And I thought, oh, okay, well, I probably should have known about that, but I didn't. But thanks for letting me know. And I listened to the very first episode that you and Steven recorded, It was very funny. I do love Steven's attempt to read a news story while you were away from the mic. And I loved how in some of the later episodes that I listened to, you would play a clip from that. And, you know, I'm laughing at Steven, but I also feel kind of sorry for him. And as someone who's been recording podcasts for a little bit, it's kind of harder than it looks. The later episodes that I listened to, I was kind of jumping around. I think I went through some of the earlier Christmas episodes. I've always enjoyed those. And this includes the Avatar discussion one, the one that also included a call-in section. And, I love one of my favorite things about the Christmas episodes is that you usually play that cover of Old Holy Night. And some of the funniest things is to hear how you and Bill and Steven will react to that. But during one episode, I think you played it during the break, and that kind of felt really weird. But on one of those episodes, you also played a cover of You've played this cover of The Final Countdown before, and I can't say for sure which episode it is, and I definitely cannot say for sure if that's the first time you ever played it. But the earliest episode I heard of it, it's still funny. It's still a bad cover of the song, and as an added bonus, listening to Jason trying to anticipate the more horrible beats of that song, it's even funnier. So thank you for that, but thank you for letting me know about the archived episodes.
Of course.
I don't know if speaking of podcasts, I don't know if any of you have ever listened to the Projection Booth podcast. Someone in my Twitter feed was talking about that show and how they recorded an episode that was focused on Conan the Barbarian. This is the 1982 movie. And followed the link to the website for the podcast, and I realized that it's almost a nearly seven-hour episode.
Holy shit.
And the reason that it's 7 hours is that they not only talk about the 1982 film, but they talk about the genesis of the Conan character, about the early life of Robert E. Howard, and how the character kind of lived on, not through just the stories that he wrote, but in also the Marvel Comics run.
For 3 hours.
And I'm in about two and a half hours into it, and they are just now starting on the pre-production phase of the film. The comics kept the character alive, but also you had these Frank Frazetta paintings, and those helped out. But anyway, digressing there, I'm at the point of the podcast where they are interviewing people like Edward R. Pressman, who was an executive producer on the 1982 movie, and it's riveting stuff. And I think they plan to talk about the horrible sequels and the remakes. But I think I found another podcast to listen to, and they've covered a whole bunch of movies so far, so I would definitely recommend hunting that down. Also, Jason, you probably know about this, but the Zachary Levi's podcast, Picking Favorites, Yvonne Strahovski was the guest star for this week's episode, so you had a Chuck and Sarah reunion, and it was a very fun discussion, so I recommend listening to that if you haven't.
Adam, from
the Bay Area, and I sent him some text earlier today, and he and I will be recording another episode Sunday night. So I plan to get another episode out sometime early next week. So I'm looking forward to that. But anyway, enough from me. I don't really have any other news, and I'm definitely looking forward to hearing y'all tonight. And good luck with everything. Stay safe, and I will speak to all of you later. Bye.
Thank you, Adam. Thank you for that voicemail. And I will check out that 7-hour podcast. I don't know about you guys, when I hear something like that, challenge 8-hour podcast.
We had a really, the our Oscar ones was fairly long, wasn't it?
I think the furthest we've gone is nearly 4 hours, but I don't think we've ever gone over four. I don't think we've gone over four.
I think the Oscar one was over five.
I'd have to look.
But that's a really great podcast, The Projection Booth.
I'm looking at the website now, and they do an entire episode on The Miracle Mile, which is one of my favorite movies from my youth, which I discovered it in my teens, but I still love it to this day. I'll have to give it a listen.
It's Mike White who runs that. That's Mike White, the guy who uncovered Quentin Tarantino's girlfriend's plagiarism, not the Mike White who made Chuck and Buck.
Oh, I was going to say. Mike White, I love that guy.
No, the other Mike White.
Oh, okay.
Which one did the School of Rock?
Their podcasts have gotten a lot longer lately, but because they've just built a reputation where they can just call people up who are involved in making these movies and get these long interviews with them.
Oh, let's see. When we did the second Oscar show, it was 3 hours and 48 minutes, and I think that's the longest show we've ever done.
Yeah, I was saying.
And it's unlistenable.
I was just going to say
because
that's torture.
We're talking about something we're watching, and people who listen can't watch what we're talking about,
Was that the Talk Radio X attempt?
Yes, yes.
Oh.
You know, it was fun, but, yeah, I'm not sure it works that great. But I might get a kick out of re-listening to it, but I don't see how
anyone else could.
Yeah. So what do you guys say we take a break, Bill? And when we come back, you want to do some news and some DVDs?
Absolutely.
All right, guys. Well, let's take a break, and we will be right back.
Hey, come here. Put your nose right here. Now sniff. Smell anything? No? Nothing? Then you're getting the picture. It's new unscented Tide, and it doesn't smell like anything. But it'll handle this mess just as well as regular Tide. See? Great Tide Clean. And it doesn't leave a scent behind.
Now you get Tide Clean clothes and a choice for your nose. Regular scent or new unscented.
Remember, you smelled it here first.
Fresh, delicious Brock's chocolate-covered peanuts and peanut clusters, made with a lot of care, because Brock's selects only the finest peanuts, fresh roasts them, then dips them not once, but twice in Brock's own rich, real milk chocolate. No wonder they're America's number one choice. Mm-hmm. For fresh, delicious candy with every bite.
Nobody treats America like Brock's.
Impossible! Brushing with denture cream cleans better than soaking with my Efferdent?
Efferdent tablets are good, but denture cream is much better.
Prove it.
Put half this stained denture material in your soap. Now brush half with denture cream denture toothpaste.
The denture cream side is much cleaner.
Denture cream gets stained denture film nearly twice as clean.
I'm sold. Denture cream gets dentures nearly twice as clean.
And for mouthwash fresh taste, try denture gel. Like to try Total?
Thanks, but no thanks. I'm a Raisin Bran man.
Well, hope you're hungry.
Ravenous. That means very hungry.
Good, because you'll have to eat four bowls of Raisin Bran to get the vitamin nutrition in one bowl of Total.
Eat four bowls? Man, who else?
Whole Wheat Total has 100% of a day's worth of 9 vitamins and iron. It takes four bowls of Raisin Bran to get that.
No one's that hungry.
You mean ravenous.
Huh?
Total. One bowl, 100%.
When arthritis pain says you can't, Encaprin's micrograins of medicine let you say,
I can.
New Encaprin, a better way to treat minor arthritis pain than plain or buffered aspirin. Because its aspirin micrograins deliver unsurpassed relief in a way that's safer for your stomach than even buffered aspirin. When arthritis says you can't, new Encaprin lets you say,
I can.
Encaprin micrograins are made to pass through your stomach without dissolving. They're safer than even buffered aspirin, and they provide hours of relief to arthritis pain wherever it hurts. When arthritis pain says you can't, new Encaprin lets you say,
I can.
Encaprin lets you say,
I can.
I can. I can.
Tomorrow morning, millions of babies will wake up happy and comfortable, because now there's a whole new generation of diapers.
My girl all smiles because your nightie isn't wet.
Sure stays comfortable in new loves.
Introducing the diaper that stops leaking better than any other shaped diaper in America. In identical situations where the other diapers soak through, new Loves doesn't. Why? Because Loves are thicker, more absorbent than ever before. Besides, Loves have two rows of gathers instead of one.
I think new Loves is turning our little girl into a morning person.
New Loves, more comfortable Loves.
This electronic timer will show how fast you can relieve sore throat pain.
My sore throat feels very red and hot.
Will you try Chloraseptic?
Sure.
Now watch the timer.
Oh, that's nice. That works really good.
With doctor-recommended Chloraseptic, relief is just seconds away.
What she got and got a lot of, lots of hair from Prell. Lots of fullness, lots of thickness, lots of hair from Prell. Goodbye limp, goodbye flat, got lots of this and lots of that. Got lots of hair from Prell.
A little Prell leaves you looking like you got lots of rich, lots of thick, lots of full.
Thanks a lot, sir.
Get the hair that's got a lot of, get lots of hair from Prell.
Tonight on V, the
visitors summon a master assassin.
I eat what I catch.
But will this appetite for vengeance bring Diana to the end of her rope tonight?
No matter what kind of day I've had, my family's got a right to a good meal.
We agree. That's why Kentucky Fried Chicken original recipe is made tender and juicy the Colonel's special way.
And that's not all.
Yep, you've got a right to fresh coleslaw and buttermilk biscuits made from scratch.
You've got a right to chicken done right.
And a right to a night out of the kitchen.
Kentucky Fried Chicken, we do chicken right.
It's the one that took the stick out of gum.
Stick out of gum.
And puts the fresh in your bread.
Yeah, Freed.
It's the one that took the stick out of gum.
Stick out of gum.
And puts the fresh in your bread.
Yeah, Freed. It's the one.
Free Dent Gum not only won't stick to your dental work, it helps clean in between the fresh in your breath while you chew.
Free Dent's the one that took the stick out of gum.
Stick out of gum.
And puts the fresh in your breath.
Free Dent's the one.
Fresh in your breath with non-stick Free Dent.
Jane Seymour in Le Jardin de Max Factor.
Le Jardin.
They say romance is back in style. I say it never went out. Le Jardin says it too. It says it subtly. It says it softly. Because if you want romance to come on strong, you have to come on soft.
Le Jardin de Max Factor, the incurably romantic fragrance.
Well, I went to a party, and what did I see?
Peanuts, peanuts, butter, peanutty.
All those fine people like a peanutty tree.
Peter Pan
tastes so peanutty because it's made from the best quality peanuts in the world.
They eat peanut butter anytime they can. Only if it's Peter Pan.
Weird Beatrice.
Little sharks, big sharks, shooting from the hip sharks.
Night sharks,
bright sharks, move you through the night sharks.
There's an awful lot going on in video these days, and it's all going on at Shark.
Geek sharks, geek sharks, anything is geek sharp.
Sharp video. From sharp minds come sharp products.
One glass of milk has enough calcium and vitamins to help the average person through an ordinary day.
But who has ordinary days?
Milk's got more of what you need to help you through the day. Milk helps keep you going when things don't go your way.
Have an extra glass of milk. It gives you more of what you need to keep up with your day and everyone in it.
Have more milk.
The dark places around your home, even those places with no electricity at all, Black & Decker creates the Lighting Series. For the workspaces where light doesn't reach. For those times you need to feel more secure. The Black & Decker Lighting Series Light from a very reliable source.
Hey, Dad, burn it!
What's wrong?
They left without breakfast again.
What are you serving?
Beans, what else?
How about fruit flavors?
Fruit? That's different.
Come follow my nose.
Got a nose big as Texas.
It's always nose.
Whoa, Kellogg's Fruit Loop cereal.
With natural orange, lemon, and cherry flavors and a full day supply of vitamin C. Part of this complete breakfast. Well?
Little birdie, I'm making Fruit Loops my brand.
Bright ideas and an Oreo cookie. It's a bright idea to dunk it, or to crunch it, or unscrew it, or to lick it, or to trick it. But no matter what you do, it's true. It's fun to munch a creamy, crunchy chocolate. O-R-E-O goes great with imagination. Puts the yum in your creation.
Oreo and Oreo double stuffed cookies.
Here comes Federal Express. Ready on the ground.
This is the Federal Express Air Cargo Playset.
Okay.
The van delivers packages to the airport. They're put in containers, loaded on trailers, and taken to the plane.
Wow.
the door is opened, and a real conveyor system inside the plane moves the containers into the cargo bay. Now Federal Express takes off again with cargo for Phoenix, New York, Miami. The Federal Express Air Cargo playset comes with everything you see here from Play School.
Ronald McDonald and friends in the Hamburglar Touch.
Ronald Cheeseburgers!
That Hamburglar wishes everything he touches would turn to McDonald's cheeseburgers.
Cheeseburger! Touch! Cheeseburger!
Touch! Don't touch Grimace!
Oh, boy! Touch my face! It's a good time for the great time.
You haven't touched your cheeseburger.
And we're back. Hey.
Hey.
Hello, everyone.
Funny seeing you guys here.
Yeah. Hey, what are you guys doing here? Now, we're going to do some news, right, Bill?
Yeah, we are.
But before we do that, Ken, you were saying that you wanted to read something to us from the Joe Esterhaz autobiography?
Yes, I just finished reading Hollywood Animal, the autobiography of Joe Esterhaz.
I've wanted to read that so bad.
And it is exactly what you expect. It is nothing but embarrassing, painful confessions and gossip about everyone he knows, like Paul Verhoeven and Robert Evans and, you know, the making of Showgirls and Basic Instinct. I mean, Sharon Stone. No one comes off well. Everyone in it is a terrible person.
Yeah, it's so funny how Joe Esterhaz finds Jesus and how to alienate everyone.
Yeah, and I thought, see, it's these things are almost more interesting for what he says about other people than about what he says about himself. Because what he says about himself is very self-serving, you know. He was
in a true gossip monger's way.
Yeah, so here I thought, so there's a little section of the book. It's very small, like one page, where he has his mistress, Naomi, after whom the character Nomi in Showgirls was named.
Oh, really?
That's a stretch.
So his and who he later married. She became his second wife.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
After
her husband left her for Sharon Stone, but that's another.
Oh, was that the guy that got his foot bitten off by a Komodo dragon?
I never heard that one.
I remember that.
Was it Phil Rosenstein or Rothstein or something? Yeah, it was Sharon Stone's last husband. They went to the zoo and he got his toes bitten off by a Komodo dragon.
I think he just got bit on the foot or something.
Yeah.
No, he got that whole thing bitten off.
Those things are very toxic, though.
Well, so is the relationship.
But anyway, so Naomi, the mistress, she has this manicurist. And it's the same manicurist as Pamela Anderson.
Oh.
So whatever this manicurist says, right, it's taken as gospel. Like, this manicurist. Knows everything. So
That's a book of the Hollywood Bible. The manicurist.
Yeah. So here are some revelations. Quote, revelations from Joe Esterhaz's mistress's manicure. And I thought I'd read these. And the question is, are these really revelations? Are any of these shocking to hear? So I'll just, you know, and after each one, you know, we'll see. Okay, so, and this will be very quick, you know. All right, first up. Debbie Reynolds called Zsa Gabor a, quote, cop socker.
What does that even mean?
I have no idea.
Is that like an old 40s kind of term?
I don't know, but it's the fact that Debbie Reynolds said it, I think that's the revelation.
Oh, I can totally believe that. She did it whenever she was. She did it to music, I think.
Yeah, in a nice
good morning, cocksucker.
But Zsa Gabor probably had it coming, I think.
I thought you said cop soccer.
Yes, cop soccer.
Oh, I thought she said cock soccer.
No, she said cop soccer.
Cop soccer. Oh yeah.
Okay. Next one. This is about Jennifer Grey. So Jennifer Grey's career was ruined by her nose job.
Who hasn't said that?
Yeah, everyone knows that.
After okay, she had the nose job, you know, nobody recognized her. I remember she was on something. I was like, oh, that's Jennifer Grey? I had no idea.
Yeah, Agent Coulson is married to her in real life.
Oh, is he really? That's fantastic. I hope they don't go to Ireland and hit anyone.
You're not over here in 15 minutes. You can find a new best friend.
You've been saying that since the fifth grade.
What?
Find a new best friend that I can run over in Ireland.
Oh.
Okay, next one. Charlie Sheen has EMA tattooed on his shoulder. EMA stands for Eat My Ass.
Okay.
That's brilliant.
Just no, is this known? Does anyone know this?
No, I have no idea.
Do the math.
Yeah, winning.
All right, here's one. Errol Flynn and Howard Hughes had sex together.
Wow. And yet the manicurist knew this? did she go back in time?
That's kind of
I guess you just get to know a lot of people who just talk. They reveal themselves while they're getting their nails done or something.
I feel like I'm hanging out at some old Hollywood bar. Like the bartender's just spinning tails.
Well, now picture Leonardo DiCaprio and Jude Law. Yeah.
Having sex?
Well, according to the manicurist.
I think the manicurist is just making things up now.
Wait. All right, next one. Here's another Howard Hughes one. Howard Hughes offered Hedy Lamarr $10,000 to pose for a rubber dummy he wanted to have sex with.
Wait, he wanted to have sex with a rubber dummy?
Right.
A rubber dummy threesome with Hedy Lamarr?
No, he offered Hedy Lamarr $10,000 to pose for a dummy.
A real doll.
Lately, your head has been either in the clouds or up your ass.
only Howard Hughes. And why would a manicurist make this up?
Why? That's one incredible manicurist to come up with those.
Okay, here's one. Jack Nicholson never wears condoms.
Surely that's just a tall tale.
Totally George C. Scott beat his wives. Oh, that's not very pleasant.
Oh, my gosh.
He also beat soldiers with shell shock.
Yeah, that's right. He wants them to be men.
Yeah, be a man. Why didn't marry a woman? Be a man!
Here's Woody Allen likes to chew gum that's already been chewed by a midget.
That's possibly the greatest thing I've ever heard. I mean, dealing with midgets in general are wonderful, but whenever you have them chew your gum for you, that's amazing.
I'm quoting here. So I would not use the word midget myself.
Yes, of course. Neither would I.
No! And I would never say something like that about Woody Allen.
Yes. I wonder if Soon Yi chews his gum for him.
I don't know what this reveals, except... here we go. Steve McQueen. This is Steve McQueen, the actor, and not Steve McQueen, the Oscar-winning director. Steve McQueen was into orgies.
He was also in The Great Escapes after the orgy. He jumped fences on motorcycles to get away from it.
Steve...
He's always escaping prison, like in Papillon, he escaped. Mel Gibson. Mel Gibson. Here's one I did not know. Here's one that shocks me. I'm shocked. Mel Gibson in the 80s was arrested for drunken driving in Canada.
Wow, that's quite a tidbit there.
That's amazing. Did he call anyone sugar tits at the time?
And what's funny is this book was written like 2 years before he was arrested in Malibu for drunk driving. So,
excuse me, is that an Uzi?
Is that I think this lends some credibility to the list, don't you think?
Absolutely. I think that someone get that manicurist a show on E.
Okay, I'm more than halfway down. We're almost, you know. John Wayne drank a quart of whiskey a day for 3 decades.
Good Lord.
That man, did he die of liver failure?
Mr. Wayne.
No, not... not
I thought he died of disappointment.
That's terrible.
here we go. Clint Eastwood always asked Sandra Locke if she had flossed before they had sex.
I could totally believe that.
Now,
it kind of reminds me of the story of, like, Sylvester Stallone making Angie Everhart walk backwards on a treadmill.
Wow. This
totally reminds me of that.
Now, who would be the source of that one?
I think it was actually Angie Everhart in an interview said that.
Okay. Quentin Tarantino.
Go ahead.
Sucked.
Make my day.
Don't want to interrupt the drop. Quentin Tarantino sucked Cameron Diaz's feet.
I believe that.
Yeah, I totally believe that.
Isn't he a weird foot guy?
He's super weird foot guy. I mean, he did a whole scene in Kill Bill just so he could leave the camera on Uma Thurman's toes.
But Cameron Diaz, I had no idea they had any kind of connection. That's, you know. Anyway.
You never know in Hollywood.
Okay, almost done. Tony Curtis called Jill St. John a, quote, sack of shit.
Does he have a foot fetish?
I just love imagining Tony Curtis in drag saying that.
I think I tore my sack.
Of shit.
Sarah Miles wore, oh my god. Sarah Miles wore her beloved terrier as boots after he died.
Yeah, I believe it.
I shaved the dog and glued the hair to my nutsack so I look like a grown man.
It's three more. Two of these are Burt Reynolds. So.
Oh, yes.
But first, Jan Michael Vincent stomped his ex-wife's kitten to death.
Yeah. I totally believe that. Stringfellow Hawk has that inside of him.
That son of a bitch. Pilot of Airwolf did that?
That guy was going to be the next Ben Affleck, probably. And then he had an accident.
Ben Affleck. Oh, I think Ernest Borgnine actually told him to do that.
Off the set of a Burt Reynolds movie.
Okay, Burt Reynolds. Burt Reynolds beat his wife.
That's believable.
Which one?
That's it? That's the highlight?
No, there's one more about Burt Reynolds. Mamie Van Doren.
Oh.
Mamie Van Doren said Burt Reynolds was, quote, amusing but small.
Oh, poor Burt.
Small enough to fit in a crystal ball, I guess.
Didn't he pose the
call back.
He kept that hat. Didn't he have the bandit hat over his crotch?
Oh, yeah, so you didn't get to actually see it?
Yeah.
Too bad.
I still have a crush on Mamie Van Doren. You remember those? I think the first time I ever saw her was on an episode of MST3K. Was it it was either Untamed Youth or Girls Town.
Yeah.
She was, and I was really like, who is that?
Yeah. And she was just in horrible movies.
Yeah, she was in terrible movies. She thought she was going to be, like, the full package Marilyn Monroe, like, the next big star. And she had such awful representation. And she really was a terrible singer.
I just want some chips.
And a really bad actress. that she ended up doing those like teen exploitation films.
I just want some chips. I want some chips. That's all. All I want some chips. See, the chip. That's it.
Yeah, like they said, the only thing she turned down was the bed covers.
Yes, true. Yeah, poor Mamie.
So those are revelations from Joe Westerhaus's Mistress's Manicurist.
I feel revealed.
Well, Bill, what do you say? You want to do some news?
Yes. Let's do some news.
Okay, well, let's do the news! Alright, Bill, what do we have in the news this week?
Alright, in the news this week, Dateline, Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, city police say a man tried to avoid arrest by rolling in dog poop. Police on patrol in the area of Academy Street and Cary Avenue at about 5:50 p.m. Monday said they observed a man, later identified as Maurice Franklin, 45, of Wilkes-Barre, jump from the curb line in front of several moving vehicles. Officers made contact
shit, you understand?
With the Franklin and found him with the Franklin. Nice. I like that this news story refers to him as the Franklin, as opposed to the other Franklin, and found him to be allegedly under the influence of drugs or alcohol. Franklin allegedly had slurred speech and could not stand without swaying as officers were speaking to Franklin. He told them he was walking around in dog feces that was on the sidewalk.
Like a piece of dog.
Officer Stanley Wychalk advised Franklin that he was under arrest and told him to place his hands behind his back. At that point, Franklin jumped to the ground and started rolling in dog feces.
Dog.
He then allegedly stated that officers could not arrest him because he is covered in shit.
I definitely would go, okay, dude, just go. You can go.
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. All right, you just go ahead. Franklin was taken into custody, cited, and held until sober. They don't say if they gave him a shower.
They probably hosed him down, I would hope, or something.
Yeah, I would hope so, with a fire hose.
It looks like regurgitated dog.
All right, the marvelous Miss Midwest, Muncie, Indiana. Indiana police called to a Walmart store in Muncie, said they discovered an active meth lab in the men's room.
In the men's room?
In the men's restroom.
Meth heads.
The Pendleton District meth suppression team said workers at the Muncie Walmart called police at about 11:30 p.m. Thursday when a suspicious backpack was found abandoned in the men's restroom.
A dangerous method.
Officers discovered the backpack contained an active methamphetamine lab, and the meth suppression team was called in to dismantle the apparatus.
Holy shit.
Why didn't Walter White use a meth lab backpack?
Kids, don't do drugs.
It would have been so much easier.
I know. Well, they're not very smart people.
Yeah, it's for that on-the-go meth addict. You know, when you've got to have your meth fresh, get the meth backpack lab.
Drugs.
All right. man suspected of breaking a Peoria parking meter Wednesday evening in downtown Peoria was released from custody when a witness could not respond to the scene.
It's about those dead bodies in the hospital parking lot.
Officers were dispatched to the 400 block of Hamilton Boulevard and found the yellow top to a parking meter in the street. The lower part of the meter and the pole that supported it were later located nearby. A 51-year-old man who matched the description of a suspect taken into custody with $1.90 in change on him, according to a report on the incident, he denied
in the name
damaging
of the
meter.
Senate of the Republic, you're under arrest, Chancellor.
The man eventually released without arrest, though charges could be filed at a later date if the suspect is identified on video or by the witness. I mean, can you imagine getting busted for $1.90 out of a parking meter? Who robs a parking meter? Like, he goes, oh man, I'm so gonna pull in so much money on this, heist. This parking meter.
Isn't that how Cool Hand Luke gets busted? Doesn't he,
destroy hitting with a baseball bat or something. He was knocking the heads off of parking meters or something.
Yeah, that's right. Cool Hand Luke.
Yeah.
That's amazing. He was channeling, Paul Newman. That's really what it was. He was walking around Peoria, Illinois at night going, man, I wish I was Paul Newman. Let me rob a parking meter.
He had a failure to communicate.
Yes. And apparently the witness had a failure to communicate. And that's all the news that's fit to print this week.
All right, Bill. Thank you for doing the news this week. And what do you say we do some DVDs?
Let's do them.
Let's do them. All right. Let me just find the... all right, let's do the DVDs! DVDs, everybody! Excuse me? All right, Bill, what do we have in the DVDs?
All right, Blu-rays and DVDs for March 17th, 2015, starting off with Shout Factory breaking up the Werner Herzog set and releasing some singles of his films. We have Aguirre, The Wrath of God on Blu-ray.
Remember me, viejo?
Speaking of last week, Natalie and I went to the Wexner Center for the Arts and saw Werner Herzog's documentary Cave of Forgotten Dreams in 3D.
Oh, yeah. I saw you talking about that.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was, it had this music that just lulled you to sleep.
Oh, it was... Not sure that's the desired reaction.
At one point, I hear this, and I like look over at Natalie and notice she's sleeping and I kind of elbow her a little bit and she goes, what? And I went, oh, nothing. I was just moving my arm. But yeah, it was an amazing film. I had waited, I think like 4 years to see it because I wanted to see it in 3D.
Yeah, how was the 3D?
Oh, no. It was, yeah, I mean, it was, the music was incredible. It was just, it was like a lullaby. And, but yeah, it was, I was surprised I stayed awake. So I, no bad mouthing of Natalie here.
Oh, that's neat. It's going to be 3D.
No, she was wearing her 3D glasses when you were talking?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Isn't that weird, trying to talk to someone and they're wearing those glasses?
Well, in the Wexner Center for the Arts, they have one of those, they use Dolby 3D, so the glasses are mirrored. They're not like the standard polarized lenses. So it... Jason's playing snoring. So it's like you try to talk to him and you feel like you're in some strange, like, retro futuristic film. They're the strangest 3D glasses I've ever had to wear.
Oh, you're
They're very 50s. They're very difficult to wear. And especially, I can wear the real 3D glasses with my glasses on, no problem. But these, like, Dolby 3D glasses are a bitch to wear with glasses. But, it was a very interesting film. I highly recommend it if you can see it in 3D. It really accentuated the cave walls and, the motion and the way the light played with it and everything. It was very cool.
Oh!
All right, moving on. We have Annie on Blu-ray, and not the original Annie, but the urban Annie. The Annie remake. Yes, the last remake of Annie.
I don't know who Little Orphan Annie is.
I'm going to pass on this one entirely.
No.
But If you desperately need to pick it up at Walmart, you can get the Walmart exclusive with the plush dog toy included.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, Ken, you might want to pick that up before you leave for Japan.
Yeah, because I'll never find any plush toys over there.
No, they don't have any plush toys. No, you know, over here in America is exclusively, you know, we have the market cornered on Hello Kitty.
Oh, in so, Japan, don't they love, like, pee-pee humor, too? You know, like...
Yeah, and what's funny is that it's all about humiliation. And it's not really about the bodily function. It's just like, it's all about humiliation.
Yeah, they're really, I think because it's such an honor-bound society, there's a certain, like, a comedy that lends itself to the humiliation stuff.
Yeah, that's like okay to be embarrassed, you know. It's just, yeah. It's just a release.
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody I'm following, one of the keyboardists for Skinny Puppy, he's big into Japan. And their stuff, and they're making these little weird, ugly kaiju dolls that are crazy priced, like thousands of dollars.
Yeah, yeah. You go into a shop like in Akihabara, there are these homemade dolls of these characters from, you know, shows or movies or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're one of a kind. And you look at the price, and you can't believe how many zeros are there on the tag. You know, like $10,000. You know, for some little statue.
And they're there for years until somebody with too much money and not enough sense comes to Japan. So I don't think there's anybody there that's buying those.
Last week, Japanese scientists explained...
Oh.
What?
What was that, Napoleon? moving on, we have Ridley Scott's Exodus, Gods and Kings.
That's pretty cool, I guess.
In 3D.
Oh, nice!
You too can experience this very bizarre reimagining of the Book of Exodus.
In 3D?
No, but your face is.
In 3D!
Nice!
This one is painful, honestly.
Oh, that's neat. It's gonna be 3D.
I downloaded it for my... Well, I... What? I didn't down... I acquired it in a questionable method for my father and was watching it and just shaking my head. Like, I'm not a big biblical literalist, but when there's a story and you take that story and then just
files
go...
accessed.
It feels like somebody took psilocybin mushrooms before they wrote this. Because there are moments where I'm just like, wait, what? Am I actually seeing that? I don't understand. I can't even... It's really hard to explain how batshit nuts this is at times.
I have eaten some mushrooms.
Yeah. If you want a more literal take on a biblical story, why not pick up the 1965 Greatest Story Ever Told on Blu-ray? Because it's time for Easter movies.
It's in the Bible.
It is.
Max von Sydow, yeah.
That's Max von Sydow, yes. I think there's two depictions of Christ that I like the most. Max von Sydow and the dude from the Franco Zeffirelli miniseries.
Jesus Christ!
Yes, yes, that one. moving on, we have, there's the cat. Got it.
Christ!
let's push that blasphemous barrier a little further. Just a little bit further.
If you continue like that, Jesus Christ actually gonna appear.
Yes. It's true! And it's Max von Sydow, and he's very young. Next we have Halo Nightfall on Blu-ray.
Awesome! No way, is that any good?
Yeah, well, it involves Ridley Scott, so that's questionable.
I think he produced it.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess this is, wait, it's the first season and it's only 90 minutes?
Huh?
Are the episodes like 5 minutes?
Is it like Sherlock? Like
15 minutes. 10 or 15 minutes.
Oh, was it like vignettes or...
Vignettes, yes.
Red versus Blue, these 6 minute, you know...
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what it is. It's based on that. It's the gritty version of Red versus Blue. I haven't heard many good things about this. I love that Halo, that Halo note.
It's like one key on a piano.
It's one, yeah, it's one key.
Oh, okay, it's Halo.
It's a genius.
So is the show any good, or...
I haven't heard good things about it.
Ooh.
All right, moving on, we have The Humbling.
Okay.
With
Pacino.
Yes, with Al Pacino.
That's really humbling.
I should guess, buddy, it is. And at no point does he appear in a refrigerated box truck. Yeah, it's... I've heard The Humbling compared to Birdman.
The box truck is basically a refrigerator. If you leave it running, it's, you know, refrigerated box truck. It'll be cold in there.
Yes, yes. The story of a legendary stage actor who has an affair with a lesbian woman half his age at a secluded country house in Connecticut, based on Philip Roth's final novel. It's a tragic comedy about a man who's lived inside his imagination for too long.
I'm not a lesbian!
Well, this
lady says otherwise, Bill.
Yeah, it could be his imagination.
Hot lesbian, man. Just yes.
This is one of those films that I had to click on the link just to see exactly what it was about. And you love in the review whenever it says it features an adequate Dolby True HD 5.1 lossless soundtrack.
That's adequate.
It's adequate. You know, for one of them, their talkie films.
One of them pictures.
Left channel.
Yeah, the moving picture, True HD. Next we have on Blu-ray, My Girl.
Right channel.
Oh, My Girl?
Yes, the one where Macaulay Culkin is viciously destroyed by... Yeah, spoiler.
Oh, he gets stung by bees or something.
Yes, he gets killed by bees, by murderous, homicidal bees.
Oh my god, is it true they were trained to kill him too?
They were. They knew what he would turn into later in life.
Oh my god.
They knew that he would end up singing for a Velvet Underground cover band that only sings about pizzas.
Look, and they were like, I ain't scared of bees or nothing like that.
Do we have a Nicolas Cage Not the Bees drop?
Yeah, I was waiting for that.
Just the, how to get burned, how to get burned.
Oh, okay, well, that's acceptable.
Buddy's throwing the friggin' bees.
As long as Buddy's aware of the bees.
Yeah, he's not afraid of bees, guys.
Okay, and in the release of the week involving the most overindulgent exclusives.
How to get burned!
We have the Penguins of Madagascar.
Oh.
And depending on where you buy it, you can get two Poppin' Penguin toys, or at Target, you can get a bonus disc with the two Hopping Penguin toys.
Ah.
I'm going to Target to get mine.
Yeah, Target really got the best of both worlds of exclusives here. Oh, God. This is,
I think we're going to see more of that happening just to sell more discs, more physical media. I think
you're right.
Otherwise, we'll just stream everything and studios go broke.
Yeah, it's true. Next, we have a film I've never heard of but interested in seeing called Son of a Gun with Ewan McGregor.
Huh.
Locked up for a minor crime, 19-year-old JR quickly learns the harsh realities of prison life, protection. If you can get it, it's Paramount. Blah, 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 blah. So it's Australia's most notorious criminal, Brendan Lynch. But protection comes at a price. So it sounds like a very interesting coming of age story in a prison.
Cool.
Yeah. So that I'll have to rent that. And next we have Chris Rock's Top 5, which got some really good reviews.
Yeah, I heard about that. Here's a clip.
I need all my senses so I know that it's my favorite by looking at it.
It's an Oscar winner.
It is. It's an Oscar winner. Here's another clip.
Since I smoke, my taste buds are off.
Sounds good.
Wow. It's, you know what? I would almost think that was Steven, but Chris, he's got, Chris Rock really does sound a lot like Steven.
Yeah, he does.
Next on Blu-ray, Shelley Long's Troop Beverly Hills.
All right, Shelley Long. Okay.
And additionally, on Blu-ray, we have the Stars Anchor Bay.
Long day.
Turn, Washington Spies. I have no idea what this is about, but it involves Revolutionary War and Washington Spies.
Okay.
Yeah. And direct to Blu-ray, we have Bruce Willis in Vice.
What?
Yes, Bruce Willis, Thomas Jane, and someone with the name Amber Childress in Vice.
Have you noticed Bruce Willis is doing a lot of straight-to-video movies now, it seems like?
Yeah.
What's going on with that?
Yeah, and also Jonathan Schacht.
Okay, I'm good.
In this, so.
Cool.
Okay, if that doesn't sell you on it, nothing will.
From That Thing You Do, Jonathan Schacht.
Yes.
And, of course, he was also in Roadhouse 2.
Yes, of course. I was just going to bring up Roadhouse 2.
Hell yeah.
And that's Blu-rays and DVDs for this week.
Well, thank you, Bill. That was really awesome. Which one of those are you going to go out and buy?
All of them.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thank you for doing the DVDs this week. Look at you.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week. Try the veal. And see you.
Thank you so much, Bill. I miss the cake boss, don't you guys? Well, everybody, that was ETL Daily, Episode 11, the weekly show that comes on at night. Thank you so much. We were thinking about that, like ETL Daily, but it's weekly, and it's at night, so it should be called ETL Weekly at Night.
ETL.
I think it works.
ETL weekend. Yeah, there you go. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening to the show. And I want to thank Ken Proventure for being on the show.
Well, thanks a lot, guys, for having me on.
It's pretty awesome.
It's great having you on, and good luck in Japan.
Yeah, good luck. Keep us
updated.
Yes, I will. And it's great to be on ELF. I mean, ETL.
Yes, ELF.
But, yeah, and I will definitely be keeping in touch, and I'll still be listening and probably contributing once in a while.
Awesome.
You'll have me.
Japanese scientists explains.
We want to report from Akihabara.
Say that again, Ken.
Akihabara, or you can just say Akiba.
Akiba.
Cool.
That's right.
And all right, just watch out for the triad.
Are you an otaku? Yeah. No Yakuza, no triad. Just don't deal with those guys at all, okay?
Oh, what you really need to watch out for are the dancing rockabilly gangs. That's the true danger in Japan.
And the karaoke terrorists. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'd also like to thank Steven and Bill. Guys, thank you for doing a show. This is awesome. I love getting together, doing an ETL or an ELF or whatever you want to call it. Also, Adam, thank you for your voicemail. But guys, if you'd like to check out our show, go to etlandfill.com and look over to the links on the right, and you will see one called Show Archive, Adam. That's where you click on that, and it'll take you to the old shows. Also, you can check us all out on Twitter and join our fan club on Facebook. How cool would that be?
That would be awesome.
Totally awesome, bruh. But I want to thank you guys so much, and we'll be back next time. What do you say, Bill? Oh, and also send us an email at send us an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com, or you can call and leave a voicemail at 1-206-309-4729. What do you think of that, Bill?
I think it's excellent.
All right, guys. Oh, bless you, Steven.
Thank you. Sorry.
Gesundheit.
His taste buds are off.
From all that smoking.
Yeah, it is. I love that. That's the best Chris Rock thing I've ever heard.
Since I smoke, my taste buds are off.
Yes, they are. Very well said. All right, guys. We'll see you next time. Later, guys.
Right. Take care, guys.
Take care.
This was EPL Daily, the weekly show recorded at night.
Rubik. Now this is podcasting.